You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The Yankees are still waiting to make their first major move in the hot stove season, as they've seen their ancient rivals make two major moves to their roster already. Matt Wehmeyer with the Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. And Brian, thank you for the time as we speak here on a Wednesday afternoon. And Brian, you know, to talk about the Red Sox and Yankees dynamic, if you will, it's not, you know, the rivalry is not what it was in 2003 and 2004. It's not that kind of animosity anymore. But is there still a sense that, you know, back in those days, if the Red Sox made a move, you know, the Yankees would counter and vice versa? Is there still some of that that exists where Brian Cashman sees what Dave Dombrowski is doing, first with Craig Kimbrell, now with David Price? And is there a little more pressure right now on Brian Cashman, or does that really not factor in like it used to about a decade ago?
Well, the first thing I have to say is 2003 and 2004, those were special times for the rivalry. I don't know if there was ever a time where it was as intense as you saw then, but things have changed. Yeah, you're right. Look, George Steinbrenner is not around anymore. George would have been the impetuous one who would demand to answer or counter a move, and sometimes that didn't work out so well. I remember the Yankees' answer to Daisuke Matsuzaka was to sign Keigawa, and it was a disaster. So maybe it's for the better that those things don't happen anymore. But to answer your question, I see the Yankees sticking to their game plan here. I think that they knew the Red Sox were in a position where they were going to spend some money. Look, they finished last, and those are big moves now to get Kimbrell and Price, and you're going to have to stare at David Price again several times. They're going to meet 18, 19 times next year. But in the Yankees situation, they only had $12 million come off the payroll, so I feel like we're going to repeat what we've been saying and say, if the Yankees can clear some of that payroll space that they have, you've heard Hal Steinbrenner say so many times they shouldn't need a $200 million payroll to win the World Series. They're going to have one this coming year. If they can move a guy like, say, a Brett Gardner and Andrew Miller, that's why you hear these guys in trade talks, because that's really one of the only ways that they can clear some space to go after big-name free agents. So I don't see the Yankees chasing, say, Zach Greinke to answer David Price. I think that the Yankees have their game plan, and it's independent of what the Red Sox do, and obviously did now with David Price.
And to elaborate on that game plan a little bit, Brian, of course, the winter meetings are coming up in Nashville, Tennessee, December 7th through the 10th. And let's get in the head here of Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman. What is on their agenda? What are their top priorities? And what do they want to accomplish down in Nashville?
Yeah, well, they've already made one minor move. They picked up Aaron Hicks, who's going to, at worst, he'll be their fourth outfielder. And at best, maybe he plays a starting role. The Yankees certainly think he could. And what they did there was they traded from a position of strength. They were rich in the catching department. They gave up John Ryan Murphy, who was a backup to Brian McCann. He's going to get a chance to start in Minnesota. So I think that's a good indication of where the Yankees are. They've got feelers out on a lot of players. They've been getting hits on a lot of their players. So far, nothing other than the Hicks move has really blown their doors off and made them want to make a move, but they're listening. So I think that if you look back to last year when the Yankees traded for Didi Gregorius, when the Yankees traded for Nathan Eovaldi, those are the kind of players that they really are hungry to get right now. And the players who have fallen out of favor for one reason or another with the current team, but could be taking a big step. So that's what they think they're going to have with Hicks. But I think that they're still listening on Gardner. They're listening on Andrew Miller. They're listening on Ivan Nova, for example, just to name a few names. But remember last year offseason, the Yankees went in and they weren't intending to trade, say, Martin Prado. He moved because Eovaldi was dangled out there. So they weren't intending to trade Shane Green, young, under-control pitcher. He went because Gregorius was out there. So I think that if situations like that are going to happen, and I know that the Yankees have checked in with the Braves on Shelby Miller, the asking price a little too high right now. They don't want to give up Luis Severino. Can't blame them for that. But I think the trade market is the way that the Yankees are listening and leaning right now. And unless they do complete a big trade, I don't see them signing a big free agent at the winter meetings.
And Brian, you mentioned the Aaron Hicks and Brett Gardner dynamic. I remember when the Hicks deal became official, a lot of speculation at that time that Brett Gardner was not going to be very much longer for the Bronx, and people even suspected that this was the precursor to a blockbuster involving Jacoby Ellsbury. There was a lot of buzz, a lot of talk for at least a couple of days. That's really died down, and you know, you said that teams are listing on offers for Gardner. Do you still see something happening with either him or Ellsbury in light of the team acquiring Aaron Hicks?
I really wouldn't be shocked if Gardner and Ellsbury are in left field and center field on opening day. I really think that the Yankees are in a position of strength here where they don't have to move either guy. Look, there was a reason that they gave Gardner a big contract extension and then signed Ellsbury to the big deal. They really did like the idea of having those guys 1-2 in the order and being pests on the base pass and running down balls in the left center field gap, which is big at Yankee Stadium. There was a lot of thought that went into that move. So I think to just look at it here and say, well, you know, Ellsbury was hurt a little bit and Gardner tailed off in the second half, so let's tear it down and start over. They don't have to do that. They don't have to. It's one way that they could go. And if you want to tell me that they should go sign Jason Hayward or somebody like that, I'm listening. Justin Upton, sure, I'm listening. But I think that there is a situation where the Yankees have very few needs as far as they outline it right now. They would love a starting pitcher. They'd love to upgrade the bullpen. And if they could, they'd like to upgrade at second base over Dustin Ackley and Rob Refsnyder. Now, dangling Gardner and Andrew Miller might be a way to do that. I don't think Ellsbury is going anywhere because of the no-trade clause. But if they can answer one of those problems by, say, moving Gardner, I think they would. But I don't think they have to.
And you brought up second base. That is a glaring need for the Yankees when you look up and down that lineup and in that infield. Right now it's, like you said, Refsnyder. Steven Drew is still in the mix. But, of course, the big name out there that everybody is chasing that needs a second baseman, or just a baseball Swiss Army knife, if you will. Ben Zobrist, of course, entering his age 35 season, but the guy is still so consistent and really played up his worth and his value in the World Series and the entire postseason with the Kansas City Royals. How badly do the Yankees want Zobrist? I know there's competition between themselves and the Crosstown Mets and the Nationals and a second baseman, too. What is the possibility that we see Zobrist in pinstripes next year?
You know, it's funny. We haven't heard too much about it, and I suspect that the reason is because of what you mentioned. He's 35 and probably going to get about a four-year deal, and the Yankees are still trying to dig out from these contracts to guys like Mark Teixeira and A-Rod and CeCe Sabathia and Carlos Beltran. These guys all have a lot in common there financially with Ben Zobrist and what he would bring, and it kind of locks them in at a time where the Yankees are thinking now, maybe they can get by with a platoon of Ackley and Refsnyder. I mean, offensively, it couldn't possibly be worse than what they got out of Steven Drew last year. So that's one option to do, and they have a shortstop prospect coming up through the system, Jorge Mateo, who they're very high on, and I think that, in theory, you could move Mateo to second base, and he could be your second baseman of the future. But the Yankees have been looking for an answer here ever since Robinson Cano went to Seattle. Brian Roberts wasn't the answer. Steven Drew wasn't the answer, and maybe you just plug it in from in-house here and see if you can get by, or maybe you go out and get a guy a little cheaper than Zobrist, for example, maybe a Howie Kendrick who can hit left-handed pitching. I mean, that's another way they could go. But I think that if they had to go with what they have in-house right now, I think they could get by with that. I think that Ackley and Refsnyder are going to hit enough, and I'm not sure if they're going to field enough, but like I said, they should be able to more than make up what Steven Drew was providing with the bat last year.
Yeah, I definitely want to get your thoughts, too, on the youth movement with the Yankees, two words that have rarely been associated with Yankees baseball the past, you know, couple decades or so, really. But you look at what they've got waiting in the wings. You brought up Mateo. They've got Aaron Judge. They've got Gary Sanchez in the minors, too. Now, we saw last year they promote Luis Severino, who you touched on a little bit. Greg Bird as well was terrific when Mark Teixeira went down and got hurt. What do you see the Yankees, what kind of path do you see them going down? Are they going to continue to put their faith in the kids, if you will, or if a deal comes across their plate, say at the winter meetings or at any point this winter, would they be willing to part ways with guys like Mateo and Sanchez and Judge? What do you think they'll do here?
Well, I think Cashman made it pretty clear at the trade deadline last year that he intended to hang on to those guys. I mean, he said he was getting hits on Bird, Severino, Judge, Mateo, and those were the four that he absolutely, positively would not talk about. I think that toward the end, he did back off a little bit on Mateo. He would have moved him for Craig Kimbrell if the Yankees could have got him. So, you know, some players are more touchable than others, but the Yankees don't really have untouchables at this point. I think that what Hal Steinbrenner has talked about so much, and we go back to the financial part here, they want to get that payroll lower. They don't want to be the Yankees that spend $250, $300 million. They don't want to go be the Dodgers. They think that there's a smarter way to do this, and I think that if they do follow through with that and continue building the core, you could have the makings of another core four, so to speak, coming up. And, you know, it's those Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, Mariano Rivera, they don't come around very often. I think that it was pretty special while it was happening. Andy Pettit belongs in that mix, too. You're not going to replicate that very often, but if you have a chance to even get a core two or a core three, I think that's pretty that's a pretty good head start to build around. And then, like I said, you can plug in some of the holes with free agency when you get those contracts like the Teixeira and the A-Rod and Sabathia coming off the books in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think Yankee fans would mind core four, the sequel, if you will, for 2016 and beyond. We'll see what happens there. There's certainly the talent at the minor league level to make that a possibility. We'll see what path the Yankees go down. And, Brian, just to wrap up here, if you had the power to make one move via free agency, via the trade markets that you'd like to see the Yankees execute at some point this hot stove season that would make sense, what would it be for them?
Well, can I sign myself to like a $100 million
contract? Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Can I have some of that money?
Well, you know, I'm terrible in the outfield. I've got no speed, and I don't throw very well, but I will cash a paycheck.
There you go.
I think that if the Yankees can make one move this offseason, they really need to bolster that starting pitching. I think that it worries me, it would worry me, if I were the Yankees, about the health of guys like Masahiro Tanaka and Michael Pineda. And C.C. Sabathia seemed okay once he got the knee brace figured out and he was extending over the mound again, but you don't really know what he's going to be there. And they just have so many question marks in the starting rotation that even if you're not going to – obviously, they're not going to get David Price. I don't think they're going to get Zach Greinke. But you look at that second tier of guys like Wei-Yin Chen and Jeff Samardzija, and I think you have to kind of think about that a little bit. I think that you see what Jordan Zimmermann got from Detroit – 5 years, 110, that's pretty pricey. I think that if the Yankees can come in underneath that and still add something to the starting pitching, I know they've got eight guys to fit into five right now, but that, as we've seen the last few years, that can be pretty fragile. So I think that if they can do one thing, they should upgrade the starting pitching.
MLB.com Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. Brian, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy your time in Nashville, and we'll talk soon.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.